And we welcome you inside this Wednesday edition of the Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings podcast. Sam Comendy here with you alongside, of course, as always, the incomparable and all-knowing Jill Adge. The Kings hurt their draft lottery position, Jill, but they won a game. They beat the Indiana Pacers. We were hoping to hop on at some point during the game and talk a little bit about it, but I just got off work. So now we're doing a little post-game review. They snapped their three-game losing streak. They beat Tyrese and Buddy. Tristan's obviously now in Chicago, but they beat the former Kings at the buzzer to get their 26th win of the year. I did not watch the game. I just watched Damian Jones tip it in to win it. Jill, I'm going to let you talk. And I don't think you watched the entire game either because it started about 4 o'clock and you were still working.
From 4:30 even a 5 on, I had it on in the background, but I was still answering emails and things like that. But it was a typical game that I expected to see from both teams. You know, the Kings have some people injured, Pacers have some people injured, and then they're also in take mode and sat Brogdon for rest. If Malcolm would have played, it wouldn't have been close, I'm sure. Outside of the Kings, I would have liked to see Kata instead of Len, you know, just because I know what Len can do. He got 18 minutes. I'd kind of like to see that development go to Kata. And then I know Gentry mentioned trying to get Josh Jackson some minutes. So maybe you'll see some Harrison Barnes rest at some point because he played 32 minutes tonight. But they also could be playing Harrison. You know, you see this with other teams at times too. They kind of want to have that at least one veteran presence, you know, on the court to kind of keep things from going crazy. But this is a game where when we were looking at the end of the schedule and we're talking in terms of tanking and all that stuff, to me, this was always one that could go either way based on how hard the schedule is coming up. I know people are freaking out because the Kings and the Pacers are going back and forth between fifth and sixth. But like I said, I wouldn't have really changed the lineup outside of, if you were really trying to lose, then maybe Barnes, but even then Barnes only had 11 points. Like it wasn't like he put up a crazy number. The difference today is good for Davion. He had a hell of a game, 25 points, 7 assists. But in Chimezie Metu was your second highest scorer with 22 points. Nobody else outside of those two players had over 15 points. So those two got like Chimezie and Davion, who are both on contract for next year. Chimezie has a team option. You know, that's it's not a guarantee, but they can, similar to this last offseason, they can pick it up for, I think it's like $1.5 million again. So development wise, like you're getting production out of two guys that you probably are figuring to have next season. So I can't be mad at that. Players go out to win. Like they're not trying to tank. It's an organization, you know, up top that tries to tank if they're sitting people. I like seeing the development that I'm getting. I mean, if you would have told me again, that this team would have won only having two guys score over 15 points, I would not have believed that. But it was two bad teams, and here we are.
Yeah, bad teams. This is, we're at that point of the year, the final stretch of the season, where the teams are all in tank mode, which means you can get some really ugly games. And on the flip side of it, though, you can get some pretty entertaining 110 to 109 at the buzzer type of games like we had with the Kings and Pacers. And looking through Twitter, Jill, just seeing some of the other Kings people's responses to this game, how they feel about it, of course, with the Tyrese factor, the buddy playing against the Kings for the first time since he was traded, that turnover at 14 seconds left, typical Buddy fashion. And we got Matt George saying that, quote, he'll be that guy, I'll be that guy. Tyrese and Buddy lost to their former team who was without their two star players, and Tyrese got outplayed by Mitchell. Petty, I don't care. There's that. And then just because I love giving Drew shout outs, over this pod because he's so funny. His tweet is, buddy, you idiot. Why can't you ever just do anything right? Like nine question marks. It's the question we asked Jill quite a bit as Kings fans for the time that Buddy Hield was here. Dude, just settle down. It's like he's like just an excited dog, an excited puppy, kind of like Gracie right now, trying to, you know, and just play, have fun, get your attention. It's like Buddy's constantly trying to get people's attention, and then it constantly ends up with him doing stupid shit, like dribbling it out of bounds with 14 seconds left so that the Kings could even have a chance to win the game at the end, which Trey Lyles took the shot that Damian Jones tipped in. And credit to Trey. He's been playing pretty well in an expanded role, a role that he wasn't really playing all year until this point. He had 11 points. That three went in and out. I mean, it looked like it was going in, just popped out. Jones was there to clean up. DiVincenzo had 11 points, still not starting him for whatever fucking reason. Just Alvin Gentry must really, really enjoy Justin Holiday as a human being, likes him so much that he just keeps playing him. Although DiVincenzo did play more minutes than Holiday. And then, yeah, no Cato, which is frustrating, Jill, because so many people are clamoring to see Nemias Cato, especially in Portugal.
I think it's just, I mean, he's doing what he should be doing in the G League. And at this point, like, at the end of the season, this is when he should be getting it, right? It's not like the Kings aren't playing for something right now. Like, that's gone. Now is when you can work guys in and out of development minutes. Like, it's 18 minutes. There's no reason the kid can't get 18 minutes. And then you know what you have to work on. Like, yeah, we know what we have to work on going into it. Like, no one's, I'm not expecting him to go in and even look good. I just want him to get some of those development minutes. Like, this is what the end of the year's for once you're out of everything.
Yeah. It's not complicated. I don't think it's, I don't know if it's ignorance, arrogance.
I think it's probably a respect thing to Alex Len, honestly.
Okay.
And as a veteran, because yeah, you know what I mean? He was in and out all year. And if they're giving him the option to play and he wants to play, I'm sure it's a respect thing for him.
And he's been through a hell of a lot as a Ukrainian born basketball player this past month or so. So, you know, I'm sure getting on the court and playing a little bit is a good distraction. Damian Jones, about 10 minutes ago, just said that it, quote, felt good to hit the game-winning shot against his former teammates. Whereas Davion Mitchell said that he has, you know, nothing but respect. He had high praise for Tyrese and Buddy. So two guys there kind of not saying opposite things, but taking a different route in their post-game pressers, talking about the Kings' last second win. Jill, as you said, though, before we went on, the Kings, or actually, I think you said it just a minute ago, the Kings' remaining schedule is incredibly difficult. So this one win, while it does put you ahead of the Pacers right now, it's a half a game ahead, and you now go, you play the Magic.
And you have a harder schedule coming up, yeah.
You have eight more games left on the docket. Three of them are winnable. The Rockets twice, both in Houston, and then they play the Magic next on Saturday. A couple of days, they have a couple of days off. But then they play the Heat in Miami. They play Golden State. They play New Orleans. And then they're on the road to end the season against the Clippers and the Suns, which is a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. So the only three games that I think they could win, and I think all of us would think that they could potentially win, are the Rockets and the Magic, and I could still see them losing all three of those games. I doubt they'll beat both the Rockets twice in a row. The Rockets have a lot of good young talent. I know there's a lot of Kings people that are excited to see Sengun. And Jalen Green, a lot of good young players on that team. So I would be shocked if the Rockets don't at least pull out one of those games. They should beat the Magic, though. The Magic are really bad. I think they're the one seed, right? Or the number one, not one seed, number one overall. They're the worst team. I don't know why I'm trying to say it in the weirdest way. No, the Rockets are the worst team. Never mind. I haven't really been paying attention to these standings in these past couple weeks. But yeah, overall thoughts, though, Jill, you're not frustrated that they won. You don't care about the ping pong balls. You're just happy to see that they had a lot of, that they had some fight.
Well, my thing is, like, I'll be mad at the end of the season if they end up a half a game behind. I don't like being mad right now. What does it do me? Like, I've talked on ad nauseum about when it comes to ping pong balls and options that this place could take. I mean, energy wise, they don't deserve my energy at this point. Like it is what it is. Last year, we did not try and tank. And when the last ping pong ball was called, who had the best odds? The Kings had four numbers compared to everybody else having one option left. And did the Kings number get picked? No. Like this is us. I still look at it as we have a harder schedule remaining. I'm not freaking out over a game that I thought we could possibly win all along. Right. Again, at this point in time, like, what does me being mad going to do? I don't know how it's going to play out.
We don't.
I'm not mad at guys for going out and doing what they're paid to be doing. Like, you can be mad at the org, like, go for it. But as a fan feeling one way or the other, it changes nothing in the grand scheme.
Here's the thing too about the tanking. It's simple on paper, right? You bench the good players, you sit the stars, and you get all the young guys out there that you're just trying to evaluate or just haven't played that aren't necessarily up to par with the other guys. However, that can, and oftentimes will, backfire with some teams because these young guys, like you just said, Jill, they're not going out there thinking, I'm trying to lose this game. They're trying to prove themselves as an NBA player.
The Blazers right now.
The Blazers are a great
example. They have an easy schedule compared to everybody else who's trying to tank. But yes, right. Like they're winning games throwing young guys out there.
Because the young guys have the heart and the will. And we saw that when the Kings lost everyone to COVID in the beginning of the year. And they're
playing for their paycheck, right?
They're playing for their name, you know, that name on the back of their jersey. They're playing for it to keep that jersey on. And that basketball, as we remember, at that point in the year, was some of the most entertaining basketball we had seen from the Kings. Because it was all the young dudes that were like, fucking, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to have a chance. And they were competitive. They didn't win those games. They think they may have won one of them. But you don't underestimate a guy's will to try and show what he can do, especially if they're young players or just a veteran that's, you know, on an expiring deal, trying to figure out where he's going to go next. A lot of factors. So the tank is such an imperfect thing, which is why.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, well, what are you doing?
So, I mean, next we have Orlando. That could go either way. Then it's Miami. Okay. To Houston. Could very well go either way. Golden State. Not likely. New Orleans, not likely. Clippers, not likely. Phoenix, not likely. Like, it's again, when I'm looking at the schedule, Indiana, Orlando, and Houston's would be your question marks. Everything else looks like it would be a loss.
Right. No, it does. It's and those are teams that are all playing for something. They're playing for seeding. They're playing for a play-in. They have a reason to go and win. And so I would expect that those are not going to be easy games or games that I'm necessarily, Jill, truthfully, are probably going to watch. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
If there were more younger guys on the team, like guys that I was really excited to watch play other than Davion, I feel like I would tune in for these last several games, but I don't really like Damian Jones. Okay. Chemezi. Okay. Those are guys.
Well, and put it this ready. Way, when it comes to the Pacers. Okay. How many, four games that I said the Kings could go either way on? This is the Pacers' remaining schedule. Memphis, Toronto, Atlanta, Denver, Boston, Detroit, Philadelphia twice, Brooklyn. My only question mark there is maybe Detroit. Other than that, good luck. Like, so again, half a game might mean something. It might not. And if you want to look at it as live by the buddy, die by the buddy, whether he's on our team or not, you know, it's another way that he could end up getting us. But
seriously, that would be really funny.
I'm happy with, there's plenty of guys from 5 to 10 range that I like. Like, I'm high on like the top three guys. And then from then on, I could be sold on plenty of those players that are left. But I don't see I will be shocked if the Kings don't finish 5, 6, 7. Like, to me, that's where they're going to be based on everyone's schedule left. Like, I will be surprised if they go out and win more games than the ones we mentioned. And if they are, they're doing it with players that we will be shocked that they're doing it with it. And at that point, there's nothing you can do because we would be asking for those same players to be the ones playing these tank games. So, like you said, it's a crapshoot.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's, yeah.
You can't predict the last.
What's going to happen is going to happen. It's, you know.
And yeah. You could never predict the lottery balls anyway. You look back to when the Kings had the worst record by a lot, the Kenny Natt year. It's 17 wins, and they got the fourth overall pick. And that was before they changed how they do this, right? And now they're the worst three teams, for those that don't remember, the worst three teams have the same amount of balls that drop in there. Not just the one team, the one worst team that has all of them.
Yeah. Where's the difference in getting Blake Griffin or Tyreek Evans?
Mm-hmm. And then we could have stopped Steph Curry, who is actually.
And at that point, like, the Kings did everything you would have asked them to do. Like, yeah. It's.
We thought best rookie year since Michael Jordan. As you touched on the draft prospects, how do you feel? Because I keep seeing his name a lot, Keegan Murray. Are you a fan of him?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't looked at these guys.
I like Murray. I like Benedict. I like AJ Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple guys I can be sold on that I think that can fill.
And the
Kings have needs, so it's.
But they always do.
And to me, a lot of those guys, to me, I would put them in, you know, similar tiers. So it's. And as Monty has shown,
yep,
what we think and what he thinks in the same tier is not necessarily the same thing either.
He finds good value, though, Monty McNair does. And he just did a sit-down interview.
He's got a lot of things he needs to improve this offseason, so it's going to be interesting to see how he does it all.
Yep, he's going to have a really busy offseason.
We could all be talking about this pick, and this pick could be moved. Who knows?
I think that's what's going to end up happening. He did have a sit-down with Kyle Draper for people that would like to watch it. I haven't watched it yet. I thought it was an interesting timed interview. I thought this would have made more sense like after the trade deadline to sit down and talk about what's going on. Right now, seems kind of a random time to talk with Draper, but I think a lot of it has to do with what's next, what the offseason's looking like, how he feels about the team.
Yeah, I think a part of it too is them being home too and not on the road. So when they were, since they were gone for so long, including Draper, that unless they would have filmed it on the road, you would have.
Which would have been weird.
Yeah. So I would say that's probably the bigger reason of why it's happening now, because they just came home for that trip and had been gone for so long that it just worked out that way.
Yeah, and
she's hitting her bell.
Gracie's trying to go out. I like that system you have.
This one is just her wanting to go and sit out on the balcony. It's not even like I need to go out.
Yeah, I want to stare at people and enjoy the weather. It's very warm. Do we want to touch on Jill before we close out the Rashawn Holmes news?
Honestly, it's.
I haven't heard. I haven't read
the stuff comes out. It's not. It's an opinion piece. It's not like there is no.
It's an opinion piece.
That's why it's confusing everyone. It was like a breaking news / opinion piece. So I honestly, I don't want to say anything until actual like facts and news come out, because right now there's nothing. That's why I didn't bring it up. Yeah, just because it's
okay. Yeah, I was curious.
I would say read it, but. Until I actually see the facts, I don't want to put anything out there because I'm just hope that whatever happens with anything, like that the kid ends up being put first. And that's because right now it looks like he's kind of being used as, with whatever's happening that he's kind of being used. So,
yeah, just for context, what the Sacramento Bee is saying is that Holmes's ex-wife, Alexis, accused him of domestic violence and of physically abusing their 6-year-old son, and that she caused their son to bleed with a strike to the head.
That's why I would say read it, because they don't actually tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. The reporter goes on to give her opinion and then list the different statistics in the NBA. I'm saying, like, I want to see what the actual like facts before I actually come out and talk about anything.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair to any of them without actually knowing anything.
We would never expect that. Not that that matters, but never expect that to come from Rashawn, who's probably played his last game for the Sacramento Kings, but has been such a beloved player for this team since he's been here. Rolled with the punches so well that was a surprising thing to see pop up on my notifications earlier today. But that explains why I didn't want to touch on it. So let's do this instead. The coaching episode we posted yesterday, it was about Johnny Bryant. 36, if I'm right, Jill. He's that young. He's very young. I think, is he the youngest? You might not know this off the top of your head. Is he the youngest coach on your list?
Was he Adelman?
Yeah, David Adelman would be younger. He's like barely.
They were close, so.
They're close.
But yeah.
So real quick, can you just run down while we're actually doing a recording together? The five coaches we've gone over.
We've talked about Sam Cassell, the guard whisperer. We have Kenny Atkinson. We have Darvin Ham. We have Adrian Griffin, whose son is also in the draft, as we mentioned. Mm-hmm. David Adelman and Johnny Bryant, the All-Star Maker.
Six players or six coaches. And we've obviously been leaking out slowly but surely. And so I don't know. I've never seen Jill's list, guys. I don't know how long it is, but we will do our best in the next couple weeks to get more into that list.
Keep putting them out until.
Yeah.
I have plenty of people to talk about, so we'll just keep putting guys out there until until it's no longer a spot that's open.
And this is, it's also important about doing it because we don't know how quickly McNair will move on from Gentry.
Or once we start getting names for interviews, things like that. So, you know, we're assuming will happen.
Well, even if Gentry was a front runner, you would think McNair would do a thorough thing.
It's hard for us to say. I would think. I mean, we always love that. We would think, but they don't often do what we would think.
Well, they haven't been a functional
organization. But yeah, I mean, yes, like that you figure that they wouldn't just give him a contract, but yeah.
I mean, nobody wants Gentry back. So still vouching for Kenny Atkinson myself. However, as I've said several times, as I hear more from your list as well, and I think about the coaches in the NBA that haven't been given a chance or haven't been given that second chance, there's a long list of people.
There's a lot of good names out there. I mean, that's the thing. And that's what's exciting, right? That it's like that there's good names to choose from. And you just hope that you can get a shot at them.
You hope McNair doesn't do it in 5 minutes. As I thought about it, Jill, I was thinking about this yesterday and I was posting that because you've mentioned that this would be like the first real coaching search a general manager has done for the Kings since Vivek took over. But Vlade's, both of his coaching searches were dictated by another team firing a coach.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I didn't put that together. I obviously remember Walton not really being a name and then him being fired, you know, the Lakers situation being settled and him being the guy.
Oh no, he was a name. At least locally here, like we had heard back in like January, if he was available, like Vlade
wanted. That's right. Cause they knew each other from the Lakers. Jaeger though was not, that's what I meant to say.
No. And I think they tried to get Walton before he went to the Lakers which would have been around the Jaeger time. So that was kind of like, but yeah, as soon as Jaeger became available, it was like, boom, you know, which is crazy. Like Vivek's two like biggest decisions, or you could probably say his two best decisions had been Malone and Jaeger.
Both fired.
And we're both fired for, you know,
for being good coaches.
Yeah. But
it's terrible here. It's just terrible. But hey, football.
Yeah, I mean, seemingly it would be like the one where it's like an actual like search where you, again, we would assume he's getting his guy. GM would be getting his guy. So.
And we don't know who the guy is. You know, we've speculated, but we have actually no idea. We don't know what goes on in this guy's mind. We don't know if he'll go the Rockets route. because that's the only organization he was with prior. That's where he came up, was Houston. But we don't really know if that's where he'll look to D'Antoni or some other assistant.
Will he look with someone he's comfortable with? Will he look at, you know,
the players?
Someone and or a style that maybe fits the players he's trying to build with? Like, it's, yeah, will he go a development route that we've been talking about too, where that regardless who's here, these guys just get the most out of, you know, out of them? There's a lot of different ways it can go. So
it's exciting. I like coaching searches. I've experienced them quite a bit as a fan of the Raiders and the Kings. Didn't experience it forever as a Giants fan. As you know, you're a Giants fan as well. That was crazy for so long without having to deal with it. But we've done it a lot. And I always do enjoy them because it's always a chance for hope and optimism. And then you hire Luke Walton and then you lose the optimism. But can't do that again. All right, we're going to end it there. Quick side note, Jill. NFL, I know we don't, you know, this is a basketball podcast. But holy shit, this NFL offseason is
crazy.
The craziest offseason ever, just like ever. It doesn't make any sense.
It's nuts.
Every day I'm like, what is this? Tyreek Hill, it makes sense actually, because
I mean, Adams, Wilson, Tyreek Hill, you had guys unretiring, like,
yep,
even people were surprised at the coaches that went, some GMs that weren't fired. We had Christian Kirk, who got the Timothy Mozgov like deal of the offseason that like screwed everything up. That kind of parlayed all of this stuff. Like,
Jimmy G hasn't been.
It almost seems like some of this stuff happened because of Christian Kirk, like with that deal. So Balky stays crazy, and I mean, how he still has a job is crazy too, but. Just look at that deal like the Timothy Mozgov, and everyone was just like, what is going on since then?
What the hell do I not know about Timothy Mozgov? Trent Baalke's got some leverage on Shad Khan. I forget his first name for the Jaguars. But yeah, wild offseason. Jimmy G's still a 49er. I keep seeing funny tweets of people. There's someone you have been liking and following, I think, Jill, who paints or does like art every day, that Jimmy G's still
a 49er. Oh my God. It's she paints a picture of Jimmy every day that he's not traded. And I keep wondering, when is she going to like run out of stuff? Like, she's put him in front of like Mount Rushmore, but we'll have like 49er Mount Rushmore.
There's the Friends one with him and Chandler and Joey ripoff.
Every day it's like it's a new one. And so I enjoy seeing what she's going to do.
No, I hope he doesn't get traded.
So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Yeah, she draws a new Jimmy picture every day that he is not traded.
And now there's like, you know, she might be doing a lot more drawing, because it's like, who's going to trade for him now?
I
don't think the Panthers are going to do that. And I don't think the Seahawks want him. They see him a lot.
I think she's on day 40 something.
Day 40 something.
Oh my God. Right. What if he stays and she has to go into like the hundreds?
Crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. Just a banana.
She does a good job though.
Yeah, she really does. Really does. Really talented. Promoting her a little bit. I don't even know her name. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in today and bearing with us constantly with our very random podcast schedule. We will be back next week to talk a little bit more about the Kings, and then the coaches, of course, from Jill's list, as we finish out these last 8 games of this actually very entertaining, but, you know, depressing as usual, 2022 Sacramento Kings season. Y'all have a great night. Slater, dudes.